Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Monday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I hope you had a great weekend. It was hot out here. We had the best baseball series of the year, Dodgers-Padres. Watched all three games. Incredible baseball series. I know it's early and none of these games matter. God, was there a lot of good players on the field.
Loaded. It doesn't matter anymore. We went without sports.
I was for months. I sat there.
We'll never take it for granted again.
I opened up a Stella every day.
Stella.
And I just sat there and watched baseball. I watched Jake Paul fight.
Well, that wasn't a very long fight. No. It was a year ago today that The Last Dance came out. I saw Complex tweeted it. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Joy, that to our audience listening. So Joy and I. Hardworking journalists basically had to grab shovels and dig our way out of a pandemic from a content standpoint. And I'm telling you, we got so lucky as a company. We got so lucky. First of all, Brady got traded.
Yep.
That gave us like 12 shows. And then the documentary from Jordan gave us 30 shows. Can you imagine if Brady stays in New England and Michael Jordan is paying us 20 years after? I don't know how we would have gotten. So like now, I stay home on the weekends. I have never watched more sport. I'm watching everything.
Yeah, you will never take it for granted again.
So I want to start with this. We, being in my mid-50s, I think there's a certain responsibility I have to offer context to stuff. A 20-year-old or a 30-year-old doing what I do just hasn't lived as long. You know, so when I listen to a 25 or a 35-year-old sportscaster and they get all worked up over something that's happened a million times, I'm not critical of them. I get it. That's what I was like at 25. But I can add context to stuff. You know, in America, over the next couple of days, we could have some civil unrest. I'm not rooting for it. It could happen. But we had it in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. We've had it every decade. And we get through it. We get through it. It's sad. It's ugly. We get through it. Like I've seen it my whole life. And there's certain things in sports that, I mean, we keep falling for lying politicians, conspiracy theories. People were falling for this crap in the 60s, 70s, 80s. I know my stepdad was. Okay. My dad didn't. My stepdad did. And so, you know, I'm looking at sports right now and this doesn't rise or isn't analogous to the other stuff I talked about, but we do fall for pretty. But pretty only wins championships when it's tough. Michael Jordan was pretty, but he was tough. Kobe was pretty, but he was tough. The Kansas City Chiefs were pretty, but they weren't really tough, and Tampa Bay swatted them. Gonzaga was pretty. Baylor could be pretty, but they were tough. The Brooklyn Nets were all falling for him. I've seen this so many times. We're falling for pretty. They're not tough. Their guys can't stay healthy. They're kind of flaky. They don't play defense. They don't have a rim protector. Their coaches weren't tough guys, Nash and Mike D'Antoni. So Kevin Durant got hurt again. Of course he did. Kevin Durant in the last 700 days has played 24 games. And in four of those he left, he got hurt. He's not even old. He's 32. He broke his foot at 26 at Oklahoma City. Tore his Achilles in his late 20s. Tore it again in like 30, 31, 30 years old. He's just not dependable physically. He's a gifted player, but I don't even know, to be honest with you, I don't even know how we're going to define him in the end. Just super talented, but never healthy. And he's not old. But Brooklyn is becoming what they should become, what they are. Kevin Durant's not healthy. Kyrie plays when he wants to. James Harden is unbelievable in the regular season. They are the classic pretty team. Pretty can win when it also is tough. They're not tough. They don't play defense. They don't man you up. They want to win three-point shooting contests. I mean, Kyrie Irving has made the playoffs six times. Twice, he hasn't even played in the playoffs because he's hurt. Another time, he left in the middle of it because he was hurt. 50% rate of getting through the playoffs. And by the way, if you take LeBron out of Kyrie's career and you just go Duke, Cleveland pre-LeBron, Boston, and Brooklyn, he's always hurt or doesn't feel like playing. Well, of course that's what they become. That's what he is. And so when I look at all this stuff, we have this Steven Strasburg in baseball. Brilliant, can't stay healthy. Garoppolo, really talented, can't stay healthy. Of course Kevin Durant's hurt. He's always hurt. This is who he is. Genetically, some guys, I mean, LeBron until the last year or two was a freak. He just never get hurt. I mean, Tom Brady, kind of a freak. Michael Jordan, 82 games, played hard, smoked cigars, drank wine, would literally in the offseason play hard, golf, 36 hole, one injury. So, I mean, Brooklyn is exactly what doesn't win championships. Flaky, injury prone, pretty, not tough. They're going to win a lot of games in the regular season. It's a lot like the Phoenix Suns when Steve Nash played for them. God, they were pretty. But in the end, they couldn't stop anybody down low. It's exactly what Brooklyn is. Brooklyn has had their hands full with Andre Drummond. He has owned them all year. If they can't stop Andre Drummond, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, LeBron, I feel bad for Kevin Durant because he is a unbelievable all-time talent. But of course he's hurt. Of course he's on the mend. That's who he is. We fall for it every time. All right, so Mike Lombardi is a pretty smart guy. Used to work here. Former NFL guy with Bill Belichick. He says, listening to media people, they're like weathermen. It changes every hour. He says, the San Francisco 49ers, they are taking either Mac Jones or Trey Lance. They will not take Justin Fields out of Ohio State. All right, I'm not here to argue about that. I would, but I'm not here to argue. So if this is true, and Peter King is saying the same thing, they're not going to take Justin Fields. It's going to be Mac Jones. If not, it's Trey Lance. So if the Jags, Jets, and Niners are taking Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones, that leaves what I believe are two incredible prospects, Justin Fields and Trey Lance. These kids are big, strong, athletic, arms, win their games, absurdly productive, don't throw interceptions. And you look at the draft, 4 through about 14, nobody needs a quarterback except Denver. So my guess is we're going to have a major trade with the Bears moving up, Washington moving up, New England moving up. But it's really interesting. Atlanta is in a power position at number 4. So look at that board right now, 4. I think it's idiotic for Atlanta to take a quarterback. Number 1, Matt Ryan is their life preserver. He's the only thing they have. He's Derek Carr and the Raiders. He's all they have. Passing yards, completion attempts. He leads the NFL last 4 years. He's not the issue. And he's got a good young group of offensive linemen and wide receivers. Also, he's getting a new offensive coach, so his numbers will go up. Also, at number 4, you can get Kyle Pitts, the single best player in the draft outside of Trevor Lawrence. So his numbers will go up. I think it's idiotic to draft a quarterback. But there are arguments to be made. Here's the argument for Atlanta. It's a quality versus quantity argument. Somebody is going to make an offer to Atlanta at 4. I'm sure they already have. So San Francisco, by moving up to 3, had to give up 3 first-rounders and a third-rounder. So Atlanta probably gets at least 2 first-rounders and a second or third or fourth-rounder, minimum. That's a lot of quantity. Or they can just draft Kyle Pitts, which is quality. So when you look at Atlanta, it does look complicated. You could get a boatload of picks. Do we draft a quarterback and sit him? What do we do with Matt Ryan? Just ask yourself this. In your life, I do this with my daughter all the time, and we were hanging out this weekend. My wife's gone. We were hanging out. We had a lot of arguments, and I try to simplify everything. And I've always had this say it out loud theory. Ask yourself this. Would you rather in life have guaranteed quality or speculative quantity? I want guaranteed quality. So if I can get Kyle Pitts at 4 with Matt Ryan, with the receivers, with a new offensive coach, I'll take that. Now, are there times I would take speculative quantity? Maybe if you're in New England, you have six Super Bowls, your fan base is willing to see you swing for the fence. Or if you had like a Hall of Fame GM who had a history of just crushing the draft. But Atlanta's got a new coach and a first-year general manager. They don't have that. And if I walked into a job and I was a new general manager and I'd never been a general manager, and if I screw this up, I'll never be a GM again, and it's a seven-figure job, and you offered me speculative quantity or guaranteed quality, I would take Kyle Pitts. I would say, I'm a GM. I'm going to get a Hall of Fame tight end with a guy, Matt Ryan, who's going to get Hall of Fame votes, with a new clever offensive coordinator in kind of a weird division where when Brady leaves eventually, you know, there's no certainties in this division. Breeze is out. Brady's old. Carolina's rebuilding. So this argument for Atlanta, it looks like there's a million options. But if you were a first-year general manager at a car lot, if you're a first-year general manager of an NFL team at a casino, ask yourself, speculative quantity or guaranteed quality? To me, I take Kyle Pitts. It just feels like I could go to bed at night and go, speculation makes me anxious. You know, that's why I'm not a Bitcoin guy. I'm probably going to miss out on a fortune, a Dogecoin, a Bitcoin. I'll just buy my IBM, my Apple, my DocuSign. I'm just going to go and get, you know, Shopify. I'm going to be boring. I'm going to invest in Nike and Starbucks and just be the most boring guy in the world. But I prefer going to bed at night with guaranteed quality. I don't think it ever goes out of style. I think you sleep better at night. And I don't want to keep pushing stuff down the road if I'm a first-year GM. I do think it's amazing. Everybody that's connected, everybody that I respect, all has San Francisco taking Mac Jones. And I only have one thing. I will say this. I am on an island. I think it's a smokescreen. And I don't mind being wrong. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong in 45 minutes, top of next hour. I'll tell you why I think it has. There's a big potential that it's a complete smokescreen. And they're not taking Mac Jones. I'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You've heard the saying before, people will tell you who they are. Believe them. So everybody that I trust, Jeff Darlington, Schefter, our people, Peter King, Mike Lombardi, there's a lot of trustable people. Mac Jones, 49ers third. People will tell you who they are. Believe them. So take the 49ers. There's two organizations in the NFL that do big things and you never hear about it. Nothing leaks. Colts, 49ers. When John Lynch took the job, do you remember the story? We looked it up this morning. Lynch wanted to make sure that if he worked for the 49ers, nothing leaked. And his quote was, I made a big deal. None of this stuff better leak that I'm getting the job. Remember when Lynch got the 49er job? He worked for us at Fox. It shocked the world. Nothing got out. That's pretty big. John Lynch becomes a GM first time. That's like Magic to the Lakers. Nothing got out. Then Lynch is there. He makes a deal for Jimmy Garoppolo. Shocked us all. Nothing got out. Then they traded for Trent Williams. Kind of a big deal. First ballot Hall of Fame left tackle. Nothing got out. Then they traded up to number 3 in the draft. Shocked us all. Nothing got out. Now I'm supposed to believe the Niners are a small town gossip. And the Mac Jones thing leaked a month ago. And everybody's got it. That feels a little bit too convenient for me. This is an organization that has made huge franchise-altering moves. And none of it leaked. Jay Glazer, Peter Schrager, Chef, had nothing. Nothing. And I'm talking getting a quarterback, getting a GM, Hall of Fame left tackle, massive trade up, nothing leaks. And now you want me to think it's a barbershop. Everybody's just in there talking and really hear this gossip, hear that gossip. I don't buy it. It's just too convenient that Mac Jones of the Niners leaked 6 weeks ago, not to one person. It leaked to like 10 different reporters. That's too much information. What's the value of this being out? The value is the Niners are letting people know they want Mac because maybe the Patriots also love Mac. I'm speculating here, but it's just very weird to me. Some people can't shut up. Some people keep a secret. And it's hard. The people I know that are gossipy, I love them, but there are certain things I'm not going to tell them. The people I know that can keep a secret, I'll tell secrets. And it's just, you know, just some people like to talk. Some people don't. And Joy, you've had friends like that. There's some friends that you go to Vegas and have a good weekend with, and then there's other friends you call in crisis. There's some friends you tell things to, and it's going to get out. So you just, over time, don't tell them stuff. And I think all these Niners, Mac Jones stuff, it's too available. It's too convenient. Everybody knows it. Too many leaks for an organization like Indianapolis hasn't leaked anything on major moves for 3 years. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line.
Oh, by the way, Joy, Fox Bet, and you know, Vegas and Fox Bet and all these companies, they're usually pretty good about it. Fox Bet favorites to get the Niners, favorites to get Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, all the same. Nobody's the favorite. So they don't know anything. So Vegas doesn't know anything. Fox Bet doesn't know anything. They're just trying to protect their bacon on this. I mean, usually when stuff happens, even like, remember when Biden and Trump were running against each other and the betting markets changed to Biden with about 2 weeks to go? There's a reason for it. They've got data and analytics in all these companies, and all of a sudden it was like, and people would ask me, who do you think is going to win? And I'm like, well, Biden, because the betting markets are saying Biden. They've got information that I don't have. And he won by 8 million votes. So when the betting markets are like, big question mark,
well, that depends on who you ask if you won by 8 million votes.
I don't want to get into it.
Not so sure about that. The only locks in the draft to me feel like Trevor Lawrence and Cincinnati is not going to move. Like, even like no one talks about Zach Wilson because we're all assuming that that's like a lock.
Trevor Lawrence, Jags.
Trevor Lawrence and Cincinnati is not going to move.
They don't move.
That just feels,
ever.
That just feels
ever.
Like the
Bengals
only thing we're
don't
sure
make
about.
Trades.
Yeah. So Alex Smith has announced his retirement from the NFL. Reigning comeback player of the year shared his decision on Instagram, and he thanked everyone who believed in him and helped him through his recovery. He battled back from a severe leg injury in 2018, made the return to the field in 2020, won 5 of his 6 starts last season, helped Washington win the NFC East, but he has decided to hang it up. Incredible career.
Yeah.
And really one of those stories. You and I were both very unsure if it was wise. And I mean, that's like our own probably selfish feelings of like, we don't want to see something horrible happen to him.
I couldn't watch
again.
Him. Like, I struggled.
You didn't watch the documentary, right?
No, I'm not going to watch the documentary of Alex Smith almost dying and having 89 leg surgeries. I'm not going to watch it.
It was very, very intense. And I don't like watching medical stuff. It gets me like, I'm like, blood doesn't freak me out, but like it's a
same.
Lot. It's a lot. Like,
same.
It just makes me uncomfortable. But he just had unwavering faith in himself. I mean, he has an incredible support system, obviously, in his family, because he does have a lot of kids, and I'm sure his wife went through a lot with those recoveries as well, because he almost died.
Yeah.
And she had to be the one to make those decisions in those moments. So really incredible career, incredible comeback story.
Yep.
And congratulations, Alex. Yep.
When he had legitimate coaching, he won 70% of his games. When he had Harbaugh, Andy Reid, and Ron Rivera, he won 65 or 70% of his starts.
Yeah, I think he's a good example of a good leader, a mature adult who knew what his role was with the team and how to maximize that as well.
He did a lot of Teddy Bridgewater. He's a little more, I think he's a little faster than Teddy. There's a lot of Teddy Bridgewater. You don't quite trust him physically, not going to push the ball down the field, but a total grown-up, can run your offense, can get you to the playoffs. Not going to carry you,
right?
But
a very consistent player.
Yeah.
So Trevor Lawrence got some fans worried. We talked a little bit about this last week. He was saying he doesn't play with a chip on his shoulder. You know, sports fans, sports media, we love cliches.
I do.
So he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. How do we process that? What does that mean? What do you mean? So he went to Twitter to clarify those comments. He said, "It seems as if people are misreading my sentiment. I am internally motivated. I love football as much or more than anyone. It's a huge priority in my life. Obviously, I'm driven to be the best I can be and to maximize my potential and to win. I have a lot of confidence in my work ethic. I love to grind and chase my goals. You can ask anyone who's been in my life. That being said, I'm secure in who I am and what I believe. I don't need football to make me feel worthy as a person. I purely love the game and everything that comes with it, the work, the team, the ups and downs. I'm a firm believer in the fact that there's a plan for my life and I'm called to be the best at I can be at whatever I'm doing. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk, LOL."
By the way, this is... most people in my life I grew up with came from the similar backgrounds, divorced parents, or we all had, you and I. It's not the white picket fence life.
Right.
And I, at one point in my life, dated somebody from a life that was really nice, didn't have hardships. And I remember her saying this to me. She said, "You know exactly what you want to do, and it drives me crazy." And she goes, "I don't know what I want to do." And she was really smart, 26, 27. She goes, "It drives me nuts." And I said to her, because I had to make a choice.
Right.
You didn't. And so if you're not forced to make a choice and there's not that fear that you're going to be empty-handed and broke, I said, you grow up loving family, success. You've never had to make a decision tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I had to pay for college. And so it's funny about that. And she's a very, very happy person. Very, very, I mean, like crazy happy. But there was no resentment. She could be happy without resenting somebody, right? And Trevor Lawrence has had a really nice life, supportive parents, been great, got some good genetics. He's 6'7", with a flock of hair that, you know, should be a matinee idol.
There's a little resentment, I think, sometimes from people who have it harder for people who don't have it as hard.
Right.
That doesn't make them any less of a hard worker, and I think that that's what Trevor's trying to say.
I work hard,
and well, yes, but the fear, the anxiety of failure, is embedded in me. It's embedded in you because you've seen it. seen what happens if you don't do what you have to do every day. But that doesn't mean he's not a hard worker. Like, that is also his reality. It's not his fault. He has parents who have been in his life and have supported him, and that he now has a beautiful wife, and like that he's going to be the number one overall pick. Like, he also has to work for it. So like, he can't just go out there because I had a nice life and not try hard, is what he's saying.
Yeah,
I get it. It's just, you know, it's more of an internal societal debate, but like, I think it's okay that he doesn't wake up every morning with rage in his soul.
That's right.
And you also can't manufacture that either, which is what I also think he's trying to say.
Yeah.
So Donovan Mitchell left Utah's game against the Pacers Friday night with a right ankle injury in the third quarter. He landed awkwardly on his foot, immediately grabbed his ankle in pain, and had to be helped off the court. An MRI revealed no structural damage, but he is expected to miss several games. He's averaging 26.4 points, 4.4 rebounds, and 5.2 assists this season, and they are first in the West, are the Jazz, 42-15. They have 15 games remaining, so hopefully he is able to come back healthy for the playoffs. Obviously, you don't want to see that.
He's had a great year, probably his best year as a pro. I don't know statistically if it's true, but he's had a great year.
He's an incredible player to watch. He's a real asset to the NBA. So hopefully he is 100% healthy going into the playoffs they're absolutely going to need him.
Well, I did
15 games, you know, you don't want to push him back.
Yeah. I did an event with him about 2 years ago. Some totally mature, like way above his years. I keep going back at 23 years old. I was just not even, you couldn't invite me to any event.
No, I was a liability.
I had no dignity. He was such a bright, nice, sweet kid, and we're talking in front of hundreds, and he was just...
Yeah.
I'm like, got his act together. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Okay,
news.
We're getting close. The draft is like 10 days away. It's just... it's beyond crazy. I will say this, that... when Trevor Lawrence comes out And Trevor talks about, I guess the easiest way for me to say this is Trevor Lawrence will only not work if the Jags screw him up. The only way Andrew Luck wouldn't be playing today is if the Colts screwed it up. Oh, they did. Matt Stafford, 11 years in Detroit. The Lions screwed it up. Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, great talent. Oh, the Eagles screwed it up. So the reality is there was a story this weekend that was massive globally. The English Premier League is the NFL of like England, right? The English Premier League. It's Liverpool and Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea. It is their NFL. On Sports Talk in England, it gets more talk than the NFL does on Sports Talk in America. And these big teams at the top decided, let's break away from the crap. And let's just do the top six or seven teams, get a Spanish team, go get this team, and let's get rid of the bottom. And everybody in England freaked out. Oh, the media freaked out. This is outrageous. And I thought to myself, you know what, America? We could use a good cleansing. If you got rid of the bottom seven teams in every sport, including the NFL, would it be terrible? I mean, if Trevor Lawrence was going to the 49ers or the Patriots or one of these top teams, I would have no concern about it. What concerns me about Trey Lance is, oh God, where does he land? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, I like them both, but where they landed has been inarguably valuable. So when I look at Trevor Lawrence and having to apologize for this and say this, my only concern, listen, sometimes you're going to get on a plane and you got a bad pilot. And the chances of, outside of maybe Delta Airlines, one or two of our domestic carriers is a lot of them are young, inexperienced. They're bad pilots and bad doctors and bad architects. And there's a million bad coaches in the country. So when I look at all these young quarterback prospects, four of the five this year, I love. But they're going to get handed to a staff, and the chances are Lawrence is significantly more talented than the coach he lands with. Now, that's not a knock on Urban Meyer. That's just historically the reality of the NFL. That's what I worry about. Not that he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. I don't worry about Trey Lance not playing last year. That doesn't worry me. Justin Fields, a little inconsistent. I'm not worried about that. That stuff's correctable. Bad coaching? Go ask Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz, Andrew Luck, Matt Stafford. You can't overcome it. You cannot overcome it. That's my concern. Peter Schrager is now joining us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Okay, Trey Lance, who I like, second pro day. One of these quarterbacks is probably going to fall. They're not going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Trey Lance, speculation. This morning, what do you feel, Schrags?
Colin, he could still go as high as 3. I don't think the 49ers have made their decision. You hit it earlier in your show talking about Mac Jones. There is a strong, strong case to be made for Trey Lance as high as 3 if you think that Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback for next year. You play Jimmy the rest of the year and you have this guy have a redshirt year, because the real negative on Trey Lance, nothing he could really control. He came out of a wishbone offense out of the state of Minnesota, was not a highly recruited player, a one-star recruit. Goes to North Dakota State. Their season is basically canceled because of COVID this past season. So he's played one game in the past 16 months. He's only thrown about 200 passes in his entire career. It is as raw a prospect we have ever seen at the quarterback position being talked about as a first-round pick. And yet, all the teams that have met with him, and I've spoken to many, fall in love with the kid. Now, here's the deal. No experience, no big game experience, has a 17-0 record as a starter, but he was playing up there in North Dakota State. And whereas if he was out of Ohio State or Alabama, if he has any warts or any bruises to his game, there are scouts who have been covering those teams for 4 years. They would know. So Justin Fields, if there's a negative on his game, it has been well, well communicated over the past couple years of where his shortcomings are. With this guy, there's nothing. Like, we don't know anything about him. If there is a negative, it has been hidden by the North Dakota State folks quite well. So all these teams are going up there and they're being captivated by him. Mac Jones, you know what you're getting. You know what the ceiling is. You know what the ground is. Trey Lance, it is completely unknown how this guy could be Aaron Rodgers, and there just isn't enough tape and enough information on him for us to say, I'm going to put my name on it. It's if the 49ers take Trey Lance at number 3, it is as if this guy just put on such a showcase for them and they are going completely on upside. If they take Mac Jones, it's because they know at the very worst they're getting Kirk Cousins, and they're happy with that, and they can win football with Kirk Cousins or Mac Jones at quarterback.
What do your sources say? Kyle Pitts. I said to Atlanta, I don't think it makes any sense to take a quarterback. Between Arthur Smith, Kyle Pitts, and actually a pretty decent young offensive line, I think Matt is going to have a nice 2-3 years. He's only 35. He doesn't have an injury history. I don't get drafting a quarterback. To me, Kyle Pitts is absolute guaranteed quality first day in camp. What are you hearing about Pitts? How high could he go?
Here it is with Pitts. He plays tight end, right? And everyone said, well, he could use him at wide receiver. He's a tight end, and he's a 6'6", complete beast who does not drop the ball. I don't think he had one drop his entire college career at Florida, and he definitely had no fumbles. Problem is, we've never seen a tight end ever in the history of the NFL draft drafted in the top four. So if you're taking him at number four, he better be a Hall of Fame type precedent, and that hype is huge. And the truth of the matter is, Atlanta, just look what they did this offseason. They didn't cut Matt Ryan. They restructured his contract. They're still paying him for another 2 years, handsome money. And Arthur Smith could have gone to other places to be a head coach. He chose Atlanta. I don't know if he chose Atlanta to have a rookie quarterback that he wasn't sure he would have that might be the fourth quarterback off the board. I feel like he chose Atlanta to be with Matt Ryan. And then you look at what they can do with him. And obviously when you have Julio and Ridley and you put Hayden Hurst at one tight end of him, I think it makes a lot of sense, Atlanta. But Kyle Pitts, Colin, I have never heard scouts that I'm friendly with talk about a tight end in this kind of no doubt way that they are with him. This guy is a complete alien at the position. And if he's not a first team all pro, he's almost going to be a disappointment based on the pre-draft hype he is getting.
Okay. So we know somebody will drop in the draft. It's nothing against the player. Sometimes the reality is you can go 12 spots and nobody needs a linebacker or a tight end or a quarterback. It's the reality. We've seen when Aaron Rodgers dropped, what nobody really talked about later was there were about 10 teams that just didn't need a quarterback. And it happens. And there's also always a kid that rises up the draft and fast. Who is that kid in the draft that maybe a 20 that could end up being a 6?
Yeah, you look at all these mock drafts. There's a guy that's going in the 20s that I think is going to go top 10, at least top 15, and that's J.C. Horn, the cornerback out of South Carolina. His father is the NFL legend Joe Horn, a four-time Pro Bowler, obviously with the Saints, and did the famous cell phone celebration. J.C. has the size, he has the speed, and every year we hype the receiver class, and we say, oh, wow, Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs and CeeDee Lamb, they're all top 10 picks. And because there are so many great receivers in the league, receivers tend to go in the teens. Meanwhile, corners, we don't hype in the pre-draft process, and you're always shocked and saying, wow, Denzel Ward went fourth overall to the Browns? How'd that happen? Well, because to find an elite corner is really hard in this league, and J.C. Horn is viewed as an elite corner in this draft. He and Patrick Surtain II, both of those guys could end up going in the top 10 to teams that people are mocking quarterbacks to or wide receivers to, and you're going to be scratching your head saying, J.C. Horn? Don't be shocked if J.C. Horn is a top 10 pick and you're like, wait, what? Yeah, that's how he's viewed by NFL teams. Maybe not the mock draft mafia that we follow every day on all these websites.
Well, we know the first three teams will take quarterbacks. That means there's two other excellent prospects. And if Atlanta doesn't take a quarterback, and I don't think they will, from Atlanta to about 14, only Denver needs a quarterback. So that tells me somebody's moving up to either get Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Somebody is moving up. Just this morning, your thoughts on Denver, because 4 through Minnesota, Denver's the only team that, I mean, it's not a real secret. There's a lot of doubters in the room on Drew Lock. But I look at Denver and I think, Schrags, they may not have to move up.
No, they might not have to. They could have the choice of maybe two of their quarterbacks there if they want one, or not take a quarterback at all, with George Payton being a first-year GM saying, I don't want my fourth pick at quarterback to be my quarterback that I'm tied to. Let me sprinkle one out there for you. And I know we love Sam Darnold. He hasn't had that fifth-year option picked up. He hasn't been given an extension. If they went after Matthew Stafford aggressively, which they did, if they went after Deshaun Watson aggressively, which they did until they completely backed out of that situation, and Sam Darnold's being paid, what, $11 million over the next 2 years, and one of the quarterbacks they love falls to number 8, and you have a first-year GM in Scott Fitterer, and you have Matt Rhule, who has known all these college kids inside and out for years. Don't be shocked if the Carolina Panthers say, hey, we love Justin Fields. We've always loved Justin Fields. We didn't think we'd get him at 8. He's sitting here. we're going to take him. And Sam Darnold, well, sorry, we'll figure this out. It's happened before. And I think that would be a big shock. But I don't think Carolina is 100% out of the quarterback game just yet.
Well, it's good for that to be out there, because if that's out there and New England says, okay, no, four of them are gone. Then Matt Rhule gets extra picks, which, by the way, in the rebuilding process is the dream of a coach or a GM. So Schrager, I don't know. It'll break my heart.
Am I a pawn? Am I a Matt Rhule pawn? I don't know.
I'm not saying that. But I do think if I was Carolina, I would love that out there. I would love that out there. It's a good point. I'm not paying Sam anything.
Hey, if Justin Fields was their number one ranked quarterback, number two after Trevor Lawrence, and he's sitting there at eight, and okay, we got Sam Darnold, I wouldn't be shocked, dude.
It's crazy. It's going to be crazy. All right,
it's going to be a fun draft.
It is. Thanks, Shreg. Appreciate it.
You're the best, Colin.
You know, sometimes it's just good to have info out there. If I'm Carolina, I love it out there. I mean, really.
It doesn't benefit them to
mystery
be out of the quarterback conversation at this point.
Mystery is a great ally.
Yep.
And by the way, they could be thinking it. They could be thinking it 10%, not 70. But if everybody thinks it's 70, I mean, if you're New England and there's Trey Lance is all that's left, and Carolina's drafting, are you going to just sit there and go, bad quarterback draft next year? Bad.
So I mean, you got to play the game. That's why I think it's so funny that there's like Cincinnati's like, nope, not moving. Like you don't want the like just the idea that you might possibly consider it. If someone comes to you with three or four draft picks, I don't know.
Coming up next, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of next hour. Coming up next, go ahead and make fun of me. I thought it was fascinating. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy spa-like comfort. Save big on your water bill with Navien tankless water heaters. Local rebates will save you hundreds. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. So over the weekend, I watched Jake Paul knock out some MMA fighter. Go ahead and make fun of me. I don't care. He's 24 years old. He's a YouTube star. He's now 3-0 as a fighter. And the pay-per-view raked in $75 million. Yes, I wish sports actually had more of these, not fewer. I grew up with Daredevils, Evel Knievel. They were the biggest events of the year, not called the World Series or the Super Bowl. A couple years ago, they had a tightrope walker, a Wolenda in Chicago, cold night, walking one building to the next. I've never been more nervous for a sporting event. Nobody's saying Jake Paul's fights or a World Series or a World Cup have that kind of gravitas or serious nature. Nobody's saying they're the national championship in college football. But they sure as hell beat the Brewers and the Braves on a Wednesday night. My wife's not really into sports. Sometimes she's not into me. But Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, we made an exception. I took her to a sporting event. It's one of the great nights we've ever had together. It was unbelievable. It got 4.3 million pay-per-views domestically, not globally. If the Rays and the White Sox played tomorrow and you had to pay to watch it, what would it get? 250? 300 pay-per-views. Conor McGregor and Mayweather got 4.5 million. And by the way, it wasn't cheap. It was like $70 a pop. I have no problem paying for Jake Paul. I'm not saying it's the World Series, but sports is supposed to be fun. And sometimes I like a little circus with my sports. I liked the circus as a kid. I like Cirque du Soleil, which is a circus with lots of gymnasts. I like tension. I like fights. I think this is great. Too many of you look at sports idealistically. I don't. I want it to be fun. I want it to be interesting. Joy and I come here every day. We're looking for interesting. I'm looking for tire fires. Seriously. That's what I'm looking for. And I thought it was great. And I thought it was tense. And I couldn't wait. And the bottom line in my entire life, when I was a kid growing up, I watched Evel Knievel. Then I moved to Vegas and I went to one of these Daredevil things live. It's one of the greatest events I've ever gone to. And by the way, it only lasts like 9 seconds. So you don't get a lot of payoff. You better beware. It was like a Mike Tyson fight when I first watched Mike Tyson live. Get popcorn after the fight. Don't risk getting a beer early. First round, puppy could be over in 45 seconds. But everybody always bangs on all these YouTube stars and these celebrities that get involved in this stuff. All I know is that 4.3 million people paid for Conor McGregor and Mayweather, and most won't admit it. And Jake Paul's fight made $75 million. There's not a baseball game until the World Series you could put on pay-per-view that would make a third of that, a quarter of that. So I don't want to hear your idealism. I don't want to hear it. Interesting wins. I'm into it. That's why superhero movies. Nobody thinks they're going to win an Oscar. Nobody thinks the acting is brilliant. Nobody thinks it's real. It's fantasy. But it's fun. Be less cranky. Have more fun. I want more Jake Paul. I'd put him on the show tomorrow. He's obnoxious. I'll put him right on the couch. Chairs, couch, whatever. All right, coming up next, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. There is plenty of both as we move into hour number two. There are a lot of rumors today about Atlanta and a trade. A lot of stuff out there. It's the Herd.